Hey, chump. Yeah, you, potato head. You know who I'm talking about. Is that the best game you got? Because if it is, you better just grab that free t-shirt and head home.
Yeah, man, what the hell are you doing, man?
You hit, who'd you bring over here? Mighty Mouse? You know something? You're too pretty to play basketball. You know that? You got that big Z in your fro, man.
Come on, would you stop already?
Hey, man, what are you, the Black Zorro?
Oh, man, look, that's enough.
Hey, no, seriously. You get your hair cut at the Braille Institute?
The fuck is Opie Taylor talking about anyway, huh?
Opie Taylor? Opie, hey, I got your Opie, you big, bad, gomer pot, droopy-eyed son of a bitch.
You and the cream and wheat man, take your ass back to Mayberry and tell Aunt B she better have my bean pies or I'ma kick her ass.
What are you doing?
Hey, lurching more tissue?
What the fuck are you doing?
What is up, everyone? Welcome back to the Red String Movie Podcast, the podcast where everything is connected. I'm your host, Jacob Thompson, and joining me is my friend and the person least likely to go on a basketball court and start talking mad shit, Alex Perkins. Perk, how are you doing tonight?
I'm good, and that's a spot-on assessment.
I can't really imagine you just going to some strangers and absolutely roasting them.
I'm too polite. I would just apologize before I even got there.
I will say, would you ever, because in the opening of this movie, Woody Harrelson rolls up to the courts and they're empty, you know, and he lays down, he puts a basketball as his pillow, and I'm like, that's not comfy. I've done that shit. Nobody does that. You know, the basketball, it's too large.
Your question is, would I nap on a basketball?
Would you nap on a basketball?
No, I think I would not, probably not nap on a basketball.
Okay. That's the correct answer.
Wake up with a terrible neck pain.
Exactly, and then you can't play. But yeah, we're hinting we're going to be talking about White Men Can't Jump as our movie for this week. But before we get into that, this is the Red String Movie Podcast, the podcast where we talk about a movie every week that is connected to our previous movie through an actor, director, composer, something along those lines. Last week, what did we do last week, Perk? I already forgot.
Last week?
Seven Psychopaths.
Seven Psychopaths, yeah.
Yeah. And we grabbed Woody Harrelson from that, and we're doing White Man Can't Jump. And this is actually the start of, we want to do a string of black creators and black voices for movies. We're in Black History Month right now, and also, you know, we've been doing a lot of just white people for our first 10 episodes. So we want to mix it up, so we're going to be trying to do the connecting point for the next 10 movies will just be black voices, black creators, black directors, hopefully. Starting with this movie, which is like mostly black voices, but the lead is white and the director is white. Which is very surprising.
Yeah, a little interesting. But yeah, no, we, for a little context, when we were kind of test running the podcast we did Malcolm X and Training Day, two Denzel Washington movies. And I guess just since then, we've just gone fully down the white train. So it's about time we get a little variety in the voices we're hearing on the show.
Yeah, and I'm very excited because a lot of movies that we'll get to, I obviously have not seen, and it's always good to just hear different perspectives. And I watched Do the Right Thing, and then I watched Malcolm X. They talk about Malcolm X in that movie, and I'm like, I never learned any of this stuff in history class. We should have learned it. And so it's good learning this other stuff that is not taught very well in America. So
yeah, it's really interesting to see, like, because watching Malcolm X and seeing the story of the man's life, I literally knew nothing about him, which is just a failure of a, like, we live in a pretty progressive state, or I do, you used to. So you would think that kind of stuff would be breached in history class, and like you learn the name and that's about it.
Yeah, the name and like the years active or whatever, maybe the year they died. That was it. So. Yeah, anyway, very excited for it. But this week, we're talking about White Men Can't Jump. Perk, why don't you introduce it for us?
All right. White Men Can't Jump is a 1992 joint directed by Ron Shelton, starring Wesley Snipes and Woody Harrelson as two basketball hustlers who are making a living by essentially using stereotypes and having Woody Harrelson show up at, you know, pickup courts looking like a white guy and using that to their advantage and making some money in the process.
Yeah. And before we get into what we thought about it, no, I'm right. We'll see what we thought of it. Perk, you go first. What did you think of White Men Can't Jump?
Well, now, here, what were you going to say? Because now I'm curious.
I want to talk about the director. Because, like, I watched this movie, and I'm like, it's pretty much all black actors except for Woody Harrelson. And I thought the dialogue was really good. I'm like, oh, man, who wrote this, directed this? And it's just, yeah, I mean, a white guy, Ron Shelton. I'm like, what the hell? And I peeked into the trivia, because I know you normally look at it, but I had to peek, because I'm like, okay, what's going on here?
I feel think free to loosely... divulge, because I didn't actually look this week.
Okay, yeah. So
I've been a little busy.
From what I could gather from the information, is like he kind of loosely based this on himself, of just like he used to play basketball when he was younger, so he kind of like got a lot of the like scenes and dialogue from his own experience growing up playing basketball, I guess. And he also like interviewed some people in like certain neighborhoods about like the scene where the guy tries to rob the gas station and then sells his gun, but then after he gets hustled, goes to grab his gun to shoot everybody. He's like, he got that story from somebody who told him it, that happened at a basketball court. So like,
that was a really funny scene, by the way.
That was, yeah.
It was fantastic.
So, I don't know, it was just very odd to me when I looked up the director and it was a white guy, because I personally thought the dialogues movie was fantastic. This is some of the best shit-talking I've ever seen in a movie.
Yeah,
like, period.
By far. No, and I, you know, we, obviously, I haven't done really any digging into the director, so we don't know his story, we don't know his past, but, mm-hmm. And got to try not to be prejudiced and just assume that he's just white guy who's white, because, like, yeah. Everyone's more deep than that, but... Yeah, this feels like the at least if not the director, it's clearly influenced by some black voices.
Mm-hmm, for sure. But yeah, anyway, Perk, what did you think of White Men Can't Jump?
So, it's a weird movie. Mm-hmm. I really liked it, but it was like off-putting some ways, because like the first half of the movie. Fantastic, loved all of it, and then the movie has a natural end halfway through the movie, and then it actually just keeps going, and then it has a natural end another half an hour later, and then it keeps going and has a third and actually the end of the movie. So I just thought it was really weird how it kept kind of like yo-yoing. Yeah. After the Because, you know, this type of movie, when I was watching the first half, I thought, like, oh, this is nice. Just like a light, you know, comedy, some basketball, some good acting. And and then halfway through the movie, they have the big game. It's like, wait.
I thought you were leading up to this whole time. It was a tournament. And then
I thought to myself, I was like, wait, there's more? There's more movie? Mm-hmm. Like, and then they, you know, they win the big game and... He gambles away all of his money immediately. It's like, oh, okay. So now we've got a new conflict because the main conflict was resolved. So now they've built a new one back in. And so he loses all the money. And then they do the whole getting around Jeopardy bit. And gets the money back. And hooray, the day's saved. Oh, except, no, now there's another big game. It's so like... I have to at least give praise to this movie for not leaving any Chekhov's guns unshot. Because,
yeah, for sure.
Like, everything they mention, like, because they mention, you know, Jeopardy, they mention the King and Duck, and it's like, when the movie ends, those could have just been left hanging, but then they're like, oh, actually, yeah, we gotta wrap those up, too. So...
No, the fact that she actually got on Jeopardy was a complete shock to me. I thought that was going to be just, like, a funny thing about her character, like, just kind of her characterization, I guess. But they actually got her on Jeopardy. Like, what? This is in this movie?
Yeah, the movie, after the first hour, the movie just kind of was a thrill ride. Like, in not necessarily a good way. Like, it's not bad. Yeah. None of it's bad. I liked all of it, but it was just super weird.
The way it was doled out, like, the pacing, I think, was not great in this movie. Like,
yeah.
I think some things need to be set up a little bit earlier or just, like, moved around or just... Yeah, no, I'm right there with you. I really like this movie. I was yo-yoing not only on that part, but also on Woody Harrelson's character a lot because he's super likable on the court and, you know, it's fun to see him interact with everyone. All the shit-talking, I already said, some of the best shit-talking I've ever seen because none of it is cringy. It's always funny. Even, like, they were doing, like, Yo Mama jokes, which, like... we heard a lot when we were growing up, and they got old really fast. But they're still funny, this movie, to me, for some reason. I don't know if it's delivery or what they're actually saying.
Yeah,
but
definitely, like, delivery and context. Like, all the roasts were so good. Just so
And
funny.
They all, like, aged well. Like, nothing really made me cringe in this movie. I think they said, like, a gay slur one time, but it was, like, one word, and they never went back to it. So, like, yeah, that was fantastic. All the basketball in this movie is incredibly shot and energetic and is just so fun to watch. I also saw in the trivia, so yeah, I went deep dive in trivia this.
No, please, by all means.
So apparently, when they're training Woody and Wesley to, you know, be good at basketball, by the end of the training, they said that they could start on a D3 NCAA team. They were that good.
Which, that's like, fantastic.
D3, but that's still pretty good. Also, apparently, Woody was way better than Wesley Snipes in real life, but they may look like they're equal on screen.
Sure.
And to get some of the shots, so, like, they obviously shot everything, but then to get the B-roll, they had the actors actually play like they were trying to win. So that's how you got a lot more of, like, the physical, like, fights and the more energy, so.
Yeah, not all the flashy dunks and stuff.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, just, like, the pick and rolls and stuff like that.
So, yes, like, Woody Harrelson's character, like, I really enjoyed from the beginning, but then we get this whole B-plot of the Stucco brothers, which I'm like, okay, didn't see this coming.
The Stookies, yeah.
Yeah, but it was weird, because, like, I like him on the court, but then sometimes he's, like, straight up just kind of abusive to Gloria when he's talking to her, mm-hmm. And it's just like, okay, and then he'll say, like, a kind of racist thing sometimes, like, okay, so, like, I like him and I don't like him, but then when the movie ends, you realize, like, okay, he's just like a dumb guy, like a dumb kind of ignorant white guy, and he does go on an arc, and I like he doesn't get the girl at the end because he doesn't deserve her because he fucked her over at the end. Like, she like wanted him to be in, like, a stable human and, like, get a job and not do this stuff, and then he goes and does it anyway, and it's like, yeah, you don't get the girl because you didn't listen to her, you didn't, like, you know, do it, you know, respect
her.
So
it's the classic SpongeBob meme. How many times we got to teach you this lesson, old man?
Exactly.
That's the trouble, is that every time that they have one of those fake climaxes in the movie, it revolves around him losing money gambling. Mm-hmm, so, like, three times in a row, he loses all the money. And it's like, why?
And so, yeah, Gloria, you should not stay with this dude. And I was so happy that they didn't end up together, because I was... The entire movie, I was worried it was going to have, like, a happy ending with them. And I'm like, they don't deserve it. Like, it doesn't make sense. And it's like, okay, good. They didn't have it. Thank God. Because, like, Wesley Snipes' character, he's just, like, chilling the whole movie. Like, he's pretty stable. Like, he's running a bunch of hustles and stuff. But, like, he's doing okay. It's really, like, Woody Harrelson, the character that has to, like, kind of grow and learn some stuff. So, yeah, overall, after I finished it, I really liked it. Like I said, the action, shit talking is fantastic. Pacing a little bit weird, but all the acting and, like, the chemistry between actors was really good. So,
Rosie Perez as Woody Harrelson's girlfriend.
Mm-hmm.
Like, her accent or the lisp or something was, like, it really ground on me. So I wasn't super around that, but, like, her character's good and her performance is good. It's just, like, her voice was kind of annoying.
Sure.
But I think she was great. You know, she was, like, the unsung third protagonist of this movie because of how much of it revolves around her, because it's always her money that he's losing.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And I liked how complicated their relationship was. It felt, like, more realistic because it wasn't just, like, she only existed to, like, love him as a character. She was, like, a legitimate, like, fleshed-out female character, which... So we came out in 1992. I'm kind of surprised we got one. Got an actually good female character. So, yeah, I agree. I thought she was great in this movie. And I liked her character a lot.
And then the Stookies, which, by the way, surely it's Stucci, right? Like, aren't they,
it
like, Italian?
Be. Yeah, it's like Italian, yeah.
The least threatening mobsters I've ever seen.
Dude, the ending when they took the picture of him with the blood coming out, I'm like, what is this movie? Like,
yeah,
it was such a turn.
those mobsters the whole movie are like, why I oughta.
Yeah, because...
I'm not gonna shoot you because I want the money.
The joke is that, yeah, they're not even that, like, threatening.
Yeah, no,
they're like, kind of nice guys.
Super harmless. I simply don't understand why are they even in the movie? See, it's literally just to have, like, a financial pressure, but you could have just had them need to pay rent, you know?
Like, I agree. The B plot was like not great, but I
is that even the B plot? It's like the F plot. There's so much going on. God, no, it sounds like I didn't like this movie, but I really did. I don't know.
That's the thing. It's like it's kind of all over the place, but it ends up working out. And I want to say Wesley Snipes was electric in this movie. Like, he looked so good and like was just always so energetic and just fantastic. This is the first Wesley Snipes movie I've ever seen, and he was incredible in this.
Yeah, I'm not sure I've seen. I mean, I probably have, but off the top of my head, I can't think of any Wesley Snipes movies I've seen, and like he was great. He was the best actor in this movie.
Okay, so one of the big like shocking moments in this movie was the reverse hustle. I did not see that shit coming at all when Wesley gets him back, because they, you know, he's coming off the train and they do their hustle they've been doing, and he's like playing bad and they end up losing. And I was like, oh, fuck, man. Like, and I thought, you know, me trying to be, like, outsmarting the movie, it's like, yeah, you know, the hero's got to lose at some point so they can, like, get back together and grow again. It's like, no, that was all planned. Wesley Snipes hustles them back. And that totally shocked me. Did not see that coming at all.
So, yeah, it's kind of some clever trickery, because I also, is it Gloria? No. Mm-hmm. Gloria?
Yeah, his girl, yeah.
Woody Harrelson's girlfriend. Until she says, he hustled you. The thought hadn't crossed my mind.
Mm-hmm. Even when she said that, my brain didn't compute. I'm like, what do you mean? Like, how did, what?
Yeah. So what really happened was that the movie hustled the audience. You know, it's a little meta like that. Cause like we've only been given the entire movie. We've only been shown Sydney to be trustworthy. Mm-hmm. And, like, maybe a little rough around the edges, but, like, he's got cocky, his head screwed on straight. Yeah.
Yeah.
And the two main characters have really good chemistry, and they get along really well, aside from some barbs here and there. And so when they flip it around on us, like, I definitely did not expect it at all.
Mm-hmm.
It's really well played out by the director and the writers to do the switcheroo and have it so well choreographed that it's not obvious, even though the entire movie has been about hustles.
Yeah.
Like, they throw in a hustle and no one was expecting it.
Exactly. No, and I love the scene after that when they go to Wesley Snipes' house, and then Gloria and his wife kind of scheme together, and the guys, like, start off antagonists, and they're watching basketball together and all buddies. Like, that was great. And then, yeah, like, they set up the final thing for the tournament, which we assume is the climax of the movie. But that happens super fast, and, like, we see, like, three games, I think. Maybe only two games. And we get, you know, the shit talk between them and the guys in the black jerseys. I don't remember their names, but all that shit was hilarious.
I do really like the scene where they're in Sydney's living room, like, about to shoot each other. But then, like, the Lakers are making a comeback, and they all just, like, chill out and sit down to watch basketball.
This is so good. And really, we already mentioned it, but the gas station robbery was so fucking funny.
Like, he's short on money, so, like, in a one shot, he goes to his car, and we follow a one shot of him walking literally around the corner into the corner store to rob it. Like, just so freaking hilarious.
It was so unexpected. I'm like, it's like, yeah, let me get my $500 from the car, and then he's like, immediately just knows, yeah, I'm just going to rob the gas station. The guy is like, is that you, Franklin?
I've heard Raymond.
Raymond, what? Yeah.
Is that you?
What are you doing? Oh my God, so good. The one thing I kind of wanted more of in this movie was more racial commentary, and just kind of, I wanted a little bit more of a message. I feel like they mostly use it as just kind of a set piece, or, like, you know, kind of a backdrop to the overarching just movie and the dialogue, but I would have liked a little bit more, but it is a comedy, so I can't really knock it too much for that.
Yeah, and I don't think, you know, if every movie around, like, cultural differences like this is super heavy.
Yeah.
You know, like, there's got to be some that are digestible. And right. and the movie isn't, like, it doesn't miss the narrative altogether. Like, they have some, you know, scenes of them talking and discussing, like, differences and cultural differences and stuff like that. And, mm-hmm. you know, with music and girlfriends and all that. Yeah. So,
and it all felt realistic to me. It never felt like preachy or anything. I just felt like, I can totally see these characters saying these things and them actually believing it and stuff.
Yeah. There's not a scene where like they have to sit the main character down and explain to him this, that, and the other.
Mm-hmm.
Oftentimes that's where we kind of end up, in like more present times. Nuance is kind of a thing of the past because mm-hmm. a lot of people are too dumb to understand subtext. And I mean that as, rudely as I possibly can.
As rudely, as pretentiously as I can possibly say that.
Yes.
Cause like Woody Harrelson, you would assume I assume this movie, his arc was going to be, I have to learn not to be racist. And no, he has to learn how to, like, be a good boyfriend and not fucking have a gambling addiction.
Yeah.
Which I think is, like, still a very compelling, you know, arc. And, like, the actress's name. Well, let's see. When Rosie Perez gives him the Jeopardy winnings and is like, you know, I want you to have this. He's like, I don't think you should trust me with that because I'm just going to gamble it. And she's like, I trust you. And it's like, did he learn his lesson? And then he did not. But it's like, you feel conflicted because he did owe Wesley Snipes back for helping, you know, him out. But when they all finish everything and Gloria leaves him, Woody asks Wesley's like, what should I have done, man? He's like, you should have listened to me. Like, you shouldn't have taken my offer to go play against, you know, King of the Duck. And it's like, yeah, he's right. I just really like this movie. I think it's very unique. It doesn't it's not like very predictable in the overall like arc. Pacing's a bit weird, but yeah, I really liked it.
No, it's one of the more unique movies I've seen. We're back to back because Seven Psychopaths mm-hmm. is also a ridiculously unique movie, but mm-hmm. this is another one of those just super unique movies, which brings me to my suggestions on what to watch. I don't have any because I can't think of anything even remotely similar to this movie.
Yeah, no, same. I do have a suggestion, but it's what we're watching next week, so I'll just save it. Sure. And I can say it now. I was thinking maybe like Hoosiers, which I know is a basketball movie that people like a lot that I watched a long time ago. But this feels very like, this isn't like a typical basketball movie.
No, it's not really. Yeah, it's not really a basketball movie. Basketball is just kind of like the setting.
Yeah, exactly. So, yeah, super unique. If you get through this review and you still haven't watched it, go watch it.
Probably a very fun time. Yeah.
So, yeah, that is our review of White Men Can't Jump. And that's it. So let's get into our bonus reviews. Perk, you got nothing this week. You're too busy helping your brother out.
Yeah, I was helping my brother move this weekend. And I've been working a little late the past couple days. I was planning to watch Kimmy on HBO Max. So watch this space because I'll probably watch it for next week. Mm-hmm. If not that, I still got to watch Power of a Dog and probably half the Best Picture nominees I've still got left. So, and now, you know, now that I do a podcast about movies, I feel like it's actually worth it for me to watch them all. Cause maybe like around Oscar time, I can weigh in, drop an opinion.
For sure.
My opinion is that the Oscars suck and they didn't even nominate my favorite movie, but that's fine. Whatever.
Not the Oscars have sucked for years at this point. Like it's, you know, I feel like everybody's kind of turning on the Oscars lately.
Yeah.
I got two shows for you this week that I watched.
All right.
So
last week, if you want to break it up, I can spin a yarn in between or something.
So last week I talked about the anime Komi Can't Communicate that I liked quite a bit. That was on Netflix, and that movie hit me because, you know, I also deal with social anxiety, so it was like I resonate with this. I watched another anime this week, also on Netflix. And this one hit the other part of my being about trying to find your passion at what you want to do in life, which I've also been struggling with. This is an anime called Blue Period, and it is about a high schooler who is about to graduate. Well, not about to graduate. It's at the point where he's trying to figure out what he wants to do next, because in Japan, you have to kind of, like, know. You have to tell people, like, what you're doing so you can take the right exams. It's a whole thing. Anyway, he's trying to figure out what he wants to do, and he's kind of just like a, you know, star student, has good friends, but like everything is kind of boring and easy to him. He doesn't really have like a passion. And one day he kind of gets involved in art and he comes across this painting done by someone in the art club that just like completely like blows him away. And through doing some of his own art, he kind of, it's the first time he actually like feels something that he wants to do. And so he kind of just goes all in on trying to get into art school and learning how to paint. And this show was fantastic. Like it really, really, I really enjoyed it. It really affected me. One of the reasons I love anime is you'll learn so much about a topic that you've just never learned about before. And like, for example, there's a volleyball anime that I really like. And through watching that, I'm like, I'm playing volleyball now. Like, I feel like I know so much and like, I want to get into it. After watching this, I'm like, am I about to go paint? Like, I feel like I know so much more about art and like what you have to do and the things you have to think about. Like, it's so fascinating. I learned so much and like, I really enjoy the characters. It has like actually like very good female characters. It has, which isn't common in anime a lot, so it's always good to see. His kind of male friend group is like equally, you know, guys like shitting at each other, which is like very typical of male friend groups, but also like them being very supportive, which was really nice to see. There's a transgender character, which I didn't see coming, that's actually very well written and has a good relationship with the lead character. It's just fantastic. I really, really liked it. It's a beautiful show, so yeah, I'd highly recommend Blue Period. It's only 12 episodes, I think. And that was on Netflix. So, yeah, check that one out. And then
the other show. So, quick question to interject. Do they, is it just illegal to make anime with characters who are 22 years or older? I swear to God, every anime is about high schoolers.
Right. So it's kind of the nature of...
Sorry, high schoolers or mecha kaiju. Those are your two options.
The kind of the nature of at least the genres of anime that I watch. So there's shonen, which is like Naruto, Demon Slayer, you know, Dragon Ball. The most... When you think of anime, you think of usually shonen anime. Shonen literally means like young man. So it's always... That's their target audience. And also it's always going to have a young male protagonist. And that's just kind of the genre, and it's the most popular genre of anime. There's the female version, which I don't want to mess up. I'm pretty sure it's shoujo, but I might be wrong, which is like Sailor Moon is the best example I can think of, but that's a little bit less common. And then there's like the next level up is seinen, I want to say, which is like the more mature version, which Blue Period I'm pretty sure is seinen. It's still a high schooler, but it's a little bit more mature themes and a little more serious. And... Yeah, so all this is to say, like, there are anime that are of a different genre that do have older protagonists. Like, I know, like, Monsters, when people like a lot, that I think is a, more of an adult protagonist. But in general, anime that's popular, especially, like, in the West, is going to be, like, younger characters. Because that's their target audience. So that's just kind of how it goes. But you Fair can enough. Find anime with older people in it. So,
all right. But
yeah.
And your and then, next recommendation.
Next one. I watched a little show called The Cuphead Show. Did you hear about this one, Perk?
Yeah, I've seen teasers. I didn't realize it's out.
Yeah, it just came out on Friday.
Okay.
So if you're not familiar, Cuphead is a video game that came out a while ago at this point, maybe back in like 2016. And it was very notable for its art style. It is taking...
It's hand-animated.
Hand-animated.
Entirely hand-drawn.
It's like rubber hose animation. Like think of like Steamboat Willie and like Betty Boop, like all the very old animation shows and styles.
The ones where people like do from. Like bouncy squats while idling.
Yeah, exactly.
Yep.
So it's a super gorgeous game to look at and won a lot of awards for its art. And then they, you know, at some point greenlit this Cuphead show, which is a Netflix show, and it's... So it doesn't follow the story of the game, or it kind of very loosely does. It's much more of like a SpongeBob or a, I don't know, Fairly Odd Parents. Like every episode is kind of its own thing. The status quo is reset. Every episode, there's not like an overarching story that goes throughout it. It's just Cuphead and Mugman, the two brothers, getting into hijinks. And it's 12-minute episodes, so it's a pretty quick watch. And it's just a fun time. Like... It's not my normal cup of tea because these days I do like having an overarching story that goes through, you know, the entire show. But I just threw it on and like did something else and had a few laughs. And they use that animation style very, very well. And it's just very cool to look at. They didn't do it hand anime. They used computers. But because of that, like they were able to do some really cool stuff. Like sometimes they'll have the 2D characters in a 3D environment with the 3D looking like it's kind of like a diorama. like things made out of clay, you know, kind of like a stop motion kind of movie. Sure. I think of.
Yep.
And because of that, they could do some really cool camera movements where you have like a camera rotating around like in a circle, because it's in a 3D environment with the 2D characters in there. It's just very, very cool stuff. I'd recommend watching it just for just to look at the art, but it's like legitimately funny and just a, yeah, fun little show. I don't think it's like a must watch TV, but if you just want something easy to put on, or you have like a young family member, like a kid, like a family member that's a kid, or you know, enjoys that kind of stuff, throw it on. It's a good time. So, yeah, Cuphead show.
Awesome.
But yeah, that's all we got for this week. Our movie next week, which I hinted at earlier, is Do the Right Thing. This is a Spike Lee joint, one of his first, if not his first movie. I remember, but it is on Peacock, which is free with ads. So you can just download the Peacock app and just watch it with ads, or pay for premium and, you know, not have ads. But Do the Right Thing on Peacock. And yeah, hope you like it. And until next time, thanks for watching. Bye.
Bye-bye.